Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Regional Roundup with Leslie Lopez, regional correspondent with the Straits Times on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. I'm Elliot Danker. Alvin Lee from IG returns at 7:35 for the finance update. Right now, though, it's time to take a look at some headlines around the region. It's been 2 weeks since Malaysia entered another movement control order and a state of emergency, but some are not happy about the state of emergency and, of course, its implications. One person is opposition leader Anwar Ibrahim. He filed a lawsuit against Prime Minister Mahidin Yassin. Now, to be clear, the application does not challenge the emergency declaration, but it is seeking a court declaration that MP Mahidin gave unlawful advice to the King to suspend Parliament during the state of emergency. Will the courts agree with Anwar, though? That's a question we'll ask in a bit. Meanwhile, Malaysia's ex-Attorney General has been speaking out about a former Prime Minister, Mahathir Mohamad. You'll find this in the news as well. Tommy Thomas' memoir claims that then Premier Dr. Mahathir told him to resign a day after he was appointed due to opposition from majority Malays. Now, that's even after his appointment to, you know, being the new government's chief legal officer had been approved by the King. Yet, what has been the reaction to this? It's still quite fresh news. And elsewhere in the region, Indonesia has passed a grim milestone, 1 million COVID-19 cases, whilst in Vietnam, the country is hailing its handling of the pandemic. Joining us on the line to break this down for us is Straits Times regional correspondent Leslie Lopez. Leslie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Elliot. I'm doing good.
We got a lot today, man. We're going to start off in Malaysia, as always. The opposition leader over there, Anwar Ibrahim, filed that lawsuit against Prime Minister Mahidin Yassin. And what he's claiming is it's an abuse of power and a move by the PN government to cling on to power. Okay, I know we did kind of speculate about the political implications a couple of weeks ago, but I mean, what are you hearing? What is the likelihood that the court is going to agree with Mr. Anwar's stance?
Well, you know, it's going to be interesting. Anwar, apart from filing the lawsuit this week, has also submitted a letter to the King, and he claims that he's got more than the simple majority of elected MPs in the lower house who support his contention that this this emergency declaration was perhaps not the right thing to do. And so clearly stating the MP's opposition towards this. How quickly the courts hear this is going to be crucial, whether the courts speed this trial up because of the hearing of this, because of it's a matter of public importance. I think that's going to be very crucial. But as we go along too, there are other things that are coming up against this emergency declaration. One is, you know, the MCO. People are unhappy with it. And also the economy, you know, and how these things plays out with the economy. So there are a number of issues now, basically matters that the government and the King must contend with, actually, after following the emergency declaration. So it's not so clear cut.
Yeah, and you can't play the whole wait and see card anymore. You know, even though it's a pandemic, you're trying to get enough vaccine supplies. That's another problem that they're going to face. Meanwhile, we've got another book potentially that we want to put on our to-read list. Malaysia's ex-Attorney General Tommy Thomas. He's revealed that former Prime Minister Mahathir told him to resign a day after his appointment as Chief Legal Officer due to opposition from the majority Malays. Wait a minute. How does this work at all?
Well, you know, clearly, this is pretty fresh news. A teaser for the book appeared yesterday, and for the book that we only sold in, I think, later this month. So, you know, quite a clever teaser to say that, you know, Mahathir asked you to resign immediately after he was appointed. So clearly, that's going to stoke debate. I'll be waiting to see what Mahathir says about this and Mahathir's take. You know, he can throw a whole lot of stuff, curveballs into all this. But it's going to be interesting. I mean, clearly, it was a clever move to to come up with a teaser like that. It's going to get attention. But I'm sure a lot of people will be wanting to read the book. They'll be wanting to know what Thomas's take was when he dropped charges against Lim Guan Eng, So a lot of things will be, people will be looking at the book for, and seeing now how he's going to explain himself for a lot of decisions that he made. So it's going to be interesting, to see.
Who knows? Dr. M might be even smarter and says that if you wanna hear my response, you buy my book instead. Leslie, Malaysia's Health Ministry has talked about the second MCO and they've said that it may not be extended beyond the February 4th end date due to economic concerns. Coincidentally, it's a little bit before Chinese New Year. And there is, quite a bit of visiting that happens in Malaysia at that time of the year, although one wonders how that will turn out. So economists are saying early projections that the economy will rebound strongly this year. That's now looking overly optimistic. You've got the number of cases continuing to rise. What kind of options are we looking at to keep COVID-19 under control, but yet at the same time take care of the economy?
Well, things are not looking good. Options are limited, and I think there is a lot of debate, particularly because Malaysia is returning back to the kind of lockdown or kind of strategies that were applied in the early months of the initial lockdown in March last year. And clearly the public is debating that, these strategies did not work. And we're returning back to these strategies. So clearly there's not just a public debate, but also a debate within government that, the kind of devastation to businesses that were inflicted because of the lockdown last year can't go on again. Yeah. And this economy will not be able to absorb this kind of shocks anymore. And it's going to be, more devastation. So clearly there's a big debate on when this current MCO ends on February 4th. I wouldn't be shocked if the restrictions are lifted before that, even before Chinese New Year, with other strict, SOPs in place. And, trying to recalibrate how they're going to approach this new way to handle this COVID-19 pandemic, which is showing no signs whatsoever of turning around, it's getting bad.
Yeah, it's really a tough one. And they're so close to us, so we really feel for you guys. Indonesia also has a problem. They've passed 1 million COVID-19 cases, but a little bit different there, right? Because the debate in Indonesia has always been for the past couple of months, or at least since the start of the year, how they're going to roll out the vaccine over there. I mean, there's also an influx of patients they have to contend with. What are you understanding from the situation in Indonesia?
Well, it is like we said before, it's, they will deal with it as they go. Clearly now, number of deaths really is shocking. And how they roll out the vaccine is going to be very, very critical. And, and so much so that the government has allowed even for large private companies to buy vaccines on their own and administer it on their own without any kind of government assistance. So I think clearly this shows that, it is an urgent situation and the government is admitting that they can't do it on their own and they want the private sector to lend a hand, which is going to be very, very critical on how Indonesia handles this.
Yeah, when you get the private sector involved, there are always a lot of terms and conditions in that sense, and we hope that it goes well. But one place that's going well, Vietnam, their ruling Communist Party, they're holding their Key Party Congress. This is an event that happens once every 5 years, and they've hailed the country's booming economy and containment of the COVID-19 pandemic as major achievements. I mean, what else happens during this party congress, Vietnam's Communist Party Congress, and handling the pandemic, and they have benefited also from the U.S.-China trade war one year ago or so. What else happens at this meeting?
Well, it's over 9 days of meetings, mostly behind closed doors, and then the delegates will pick the new leadership team. And this team clearly will like the previous teams concentrate on making new improvements on Vietnam's economic success, And, you know, clearly, and to bolster, and that in turn will bolster the legitimacy of the party's rule, right? And for so far, they've done fairly well with some public protests, but, you know, nothing major, because most Vietnamese are happy with the kind of economic success the country is going through. And that, I think, is key at this point in time. And the government, to large extent, can't claim credit on how they've dealt with the COVID cases. It has to be also because of very strong public support in dealing with and in abiding by, you know, the SOPs. Mm. So that's public discipline is key, and in Vietnam we see that, you know, and that has been very, very helpful in the government's handling of the pandemic.
Yeah, definitely something we'll read about in the history books in time to come. Straits Times regional correspondent Leslie Lopez on the line with me. Leslie, as always, I really appreciate your time, and do take care.
Anytime.
And stay safe, yeah?
You too, Elvin. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.